What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. Week one of fantasy football is officially upon us, and we got five strategies that you guys need to do right now to prepare yourself for week one kicking off. We are not going to waste any time. The first strategy tips that we're going to break down are things you can do for your starting lineup. The next two are bench related stuff. And then the fifth one is kind of just like a general blanket statement heuristic that you want to keep in mind early in the season. So starting with tip number one, look to upgrade your starting lineup. And this is very simple. In most of your leagues, you guys are probably looking at your teams constantly. I'm doing the same thing right now. Yeah. I open Sleeper every 3 to 5 minutes and look at my team, look at my roster, look at my weak spots specifically. You want to look at your home league teams. It's very clear what your weak spots will be. For example, you guys can see my team on the screen right now. My weakest spot is RB2. You can see I have Breece Hall as my RB1. Richardson and David Njoku as my onesies, and a very loaded wide receiver core. It is very clear to me that early in the season, my weakest position will be RB2, and my weak spot is something that I want to potentially upgrade from before that season starts. Of course, this is by design. I ran a hero RB, and my weakest spot is going to be RB2 as a result. But for example, I can go out and I can offer somebody Chase Brown, who's currently occupying my RB2 slot, plus Jackson Smith and Jigba, for example, who is my wide receiver 5 on this roster, and see if I can get up to a James Cook, an Isaiah Pacheco, a Travis Etienne, a Josh Jacobs, somebody like that. Again, this is just an example. It might not be accepted. A lot of people in my league specifically are very familiar with 2-for-1 tier ups, but it is something that you can do, especially if you're in a more casual league. And the shallower your starting lineup is, if you guys are in 18 leagues, 10 team leagues, one quarterback, 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 tight end, 1 flex, your starting lineup is literally all that matters. That is, there's nothing else that matters about your team. So upgrading the weakest positions in your starting lineup will make your team better. And this could apply to David Njoku as well. I could maybe take David Njoku plus a bench piece, try and get up to Pitts or McBride or Kincaid or Andrews if I want to. The point is basically look at your starting lineup and see where you can maybe make upgrades before the season starts.
Yeah, 100%. And again, we'll tag a little bit more on in terms of the overall roster construct you want to stick to, but specifically for this team as well, you understand, hey, I have, you know, 2 wide receivers, 2 flexes in this league. Knowing that it's not a 3 wide receiver, 3 start league with 7 bench spots, there will be some stuff on the waiver wire for you to potentially backfill. So people are automatically thinking, okay, well, the opportunity bundle of these two guys for one, like he's getting more raw points from these two players. You also have to think too, adding that open bench spot, you're going to be adding somebody from waivers. So if there's a player that you selected in the 14th or the 15th or the 13th round of your drafts, and you can tag them on and upgrade somebody in your starting lineup, there should be somebody on the waivers that profiles similarly to that guy anyways.
Yeah, and this is a good time to plug that our trade calculator also factors in what might be available in your league and factors that into the trade. So, for example, like you said, if I took Drake London and if I took J.K. Dobbins, for example, and tried to get up to Marvin Harrison Jr., the trade calculator will actually factor in that I can just pick up a player off of the waiver wire with that open bench spot. So, yeah, again, look at your starting lineup. See how you can maybe get better before the season starts. And I will say, be diligent, but there's a good chance that some of your league mates don't want to deal before week one. Like my league mates have expressed to me, like Malik Nabers went the pick before I selected Michael Pittman. I've tried already to get Malik Nabers from this guy. And he's like, I want to see what happens. Like there's going to be a lot of people in your league that want to see what happens the first week or the first couple weeks of the season before they want to make trades. Again, we're just talking about a strategy you can implement. Maybe your league mates are not willing to trade like mine.
So do keep in mind that on the waiver wire, specifically in shallow leagues, there will be plenty of options available. So even though you're losing a 2-for-1 in theory, you can always add that player over in the waiver wire. But we could go on to tip number 2, and that is balancing your late versus your early season plays. You don't want a team full of upside for the later season because you don't want to fall in a 1-6, 1-7 type of hole. But you also don't want a team that doesn't have any upside for the later season push. You want to make sure that we are balanced. As Thanos once said, perfectly balanced as all things should be. That is how we should be attacking our fantasy football teams, specifically at running back. Again, you'll talk a little bit when it comes to the wide receiver position, but we want to be balancing the archetype of player that makes up our roster. Having guys that we can plug in on day one that we trust with workloads mixed with guys that can downright win our leagues for us. And an example of that, again, you may or may not disagree with the overall valuation. I know Corey's beside me probably, you know, licking his lips thinking, oh, I think you might have paid a little too much here, but this trade follows that exact blueprint. I view my running back core, a hero running back draft strategy, headlined by Breece Hall, as having my RB2 as my only weakness of my team. As much as I like Ramondre Stevenson, he is, for my opinion, an early season workload type of play. The way I structure my running back core is that I trust Rico Dowdle, I trust Chase Brown to fill in my RB2 touches right off the bat in the first 3 to 4 weeks. And I want to go and swing on a running back like Trey Benson, who can downright win my league. If James Conner were to go down, he's an older running back that peaked in his last season. I just trust the trend of older running backs potentially declining. Trey Benson was a guy I had ranked as a top 2 running back in the class. So for me personally, the archetype of running back I wanted to complement my Breece Hall, Chase Brown, and Rico Dowdle was one closer to a guy like Trey Benson rather than Ramondre. So for me, if I could leverage that early season production Ramondre has, give me a big time upgrade, in my opinion. As much as I like Jalen Waddle, I view Nico Collins as a potential league winner at wide receiver. I think he has the upside to be a mid to high end wide receiver one with this Houston Texans offense. So for me personally, yes, I'm sacrificing some early season production losing Ramondre in this deal. And you can make the argument from a straight draft value standpoint, probably could have got a little bit more. But for me personally, balancing my running back room, getting a big time upgrade, in my opinion, to Nico Collins was a win type of deal for me. And I would agree that the immediate overall equity would favor Mason's side, but the implied value of my deal, should James Conner go down or should Trey Benson take the job over, has the opportunity for me to downright win the league.
Yeah. And again, the key is to understand how your running back core interacts together, where Breece Hall is he's your hero RB. He's good early and late season. He's a stud. Then you have, like you said, in your opinion, Chase Brown, Rico Dowdle can be the early season plays for you. And you add Trey Benson to be a late season play for you. Now, I kind of disagree a little bit. I think that Chase Brown and Rico Dowdle are actually probably late season plays as well, because I think we just got news today. Zach Moss was listed as the RB1 on the depth chart. Ezekiel Elliott, as the guy who knows the system, has been with the team, probably has a chance to be the early season guy there. But again, it's your team. It's your evaluation that you're making here. And I don't think the trade is outrageous. I think that Ramondre is also kind of like also a solid early and late season play. So I disagree with the trade. But again, the premise of balancing your early and late season plays, and this doesn't have to apply to trading. It could also just apply to, let's say you have Chuba Hubbard, Ray Davis, and Bucky Irving on your bench. You have one early season play in Chuba Hubbard because he's going to be a starter until Jonathan Brooks comes back.
Weeks.
And you have two late season plays in Bucky Irving, in Ray Davis. They're both rookies. They could have bigger roles down the stretch. So that's kind of how you want to balance your running back plays. And like, for example, you're like, you know what? I don't need Chuba Hubbard because I ran a double hero RB. I don't need an early season play. You could drop Chuba Hubbard for Tyrone Tracy, for example, or you could use Chuba Hubbard in a 2-for-1 trade up to get a better upside play like Zach Charbonnet or something like that on your roster. So again, balancing your early and late season plays also applies to your starting lineup as well as your bench, like we kind of just talked about there.
And the last note I will leave off of here is it fully depends on your draft strategy. If I went with a 0 running back build and I didn't have a guy like Breece Hall, the early season touches of Ramondre, I would have rather kept that type of profile. But because I had Breece Hall, knowing that wide receivers more than likely on a week-to-week basis with Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, with Nico Collins now and Rashee Rice, the only spot that I will have for a second running back will be in that RB2 slot, because for the most part, when I'm projecting my lineup moving forward, it will be 4 wide receivers and 2 running backs. And I already know one of those running backs on a week-to-week basis will be Breece Hall. So if Trey Benson does end up developing into that top 15, top 12 back, should James Conner go down or Benson just win the job outright, I now have a team that basically has no flaws.
Yeah, again, I look at your team and I think you have too much late season upside personally between Odunze, Nabers, Trey Benson, those type of guys. I think Ramondre actually fit your team a little bit better. But again, we disagree a little bit on the premise of the trade. And again, just a reminder too, before we get into the bench kind of stuff that we're talking about, Underdog Fantasy does have a live promotion right now. Thursday night, we kick off the NFL season. I'm so excited to stop jabbering about these players. Head on over there. Use the code FSE. You'll get our weekly rankings for the entire season to help you guys with start-sit decisions, Vegas information, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end matchups. All that stuff is included in our weekly rankings manifesto, and you can get it by heading on over to Underdog using promo code FSE. Depositing $10, it'll be in your email inbox within 24 hours. You'll get this Travis Kelce pick'em for week one as well, so definitely check that out if you're interested. Now let's get into bench stuff, and we're going to talk about building your bench properly. This is one of the biggest mistakes that new fantasy players make. And the biggest mistake that some of my like experienced league mates still make is that they don't want to have to make start-sit decisions. They're like, I want my bench to be my bench and my starters to be my starters. I want them to be terrible bench options that are only handcuffs or whatever, that I can know that when I start them, I start them. And otherwise, I just start the guys in my starting lineup. So again, your starters are all that matters for the most part in home leagues, because in shallow league formats, your goal is to basically just have the best starting lineup. But that means that your bench is going to churn out constant bench hits if you can, you know, properly structure your bench.
Goes back to point one.
What's up?
I was just going to say, it goes back to point one that you made, where if you do have somebody that hits massively off your bench, guess what? You have an opportunity to potentially even make a 2-for-1.
Exactly. You can use that depth in trade packages to tier up. Let's say you have DK Metcalf as your wide receiver 2 in your lineup, and Bucky Irving becomes a starting running back for the Bucks because Rashad White gets injured. You can take DK Metcalf plus Bucky Irving and probably get up to like Drake London or something, or probably get up to Brandon Ayuk or Nico Collins or somebody like that. That is why we want to build our bench properly. There is absolutely no penalty for having bad players on your bench in home leagues. In best ball, obviously, it's totally different, but let's say in round 10 to 15, all you did was swing for upside. You only drafted handcuff running backs, ambiguous backfields, rookie wide receivers, whatever. If you missed on every single one of those picks, you could legitimately still be 3-0 after the first weeks, 3 weeks of the season. Like, it has absolutely no impact on your win-loss record. And you'll probably have a whole new bench by week 2, if that's the case, if everybody misses from your rounds 10 to 15. So here are some easy rules to follow. If all of this sounds confusing, here are some easy rules to follow for building your bench properly. As I talked about in the mistakes to avoid video, if you guys drafted Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, or better at quarterback, so Allen, Hurts, Mahomes, those type of guys, do not roster second quarterback. Don't. If you're doing it just for the bye week, in the bye week, you can make that decision. Like Mahomes and those guys, they all have late buys, I'm pretty sure, especially Allen and Hurts. Just wait until that week, pick up Gardner Minshew or Derek Carr, or Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones off of the waiver wire, and you should be in a very good spot to just play that guy 1 week and then drop him after the week is over, because Mahomes, Hurts, those type of guys are never leaving your lineup. And again, the exception is maybe like an Anthony Richardson, because he's a little bit risky, but for the most part, I'm fine rostering one quarterback if you have Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, or better. And the same goes for tight ends too. And again, we're assuming one quarterback, one tight end leagues. David Njoku, Jake Ferguson, or better, don't draft a second tight end. Don't roster a second tight end. There's no reason to have Cole Kmet on your bench if you already have Kyle Pitts or you already have Trey McBride or somebody like that. So definitely part of structuring your bench is not holding extra onesies if you already have an elite option, because there's a very good chance that if Jalen Hurts misses, you're not going to win your league anyway. And you can just stream the waiver wire and grab whoever, Bo Nix, Drake May, when they pop up as waiver ads. There's no reason to just hold Tua Tagovailoa on your bench behind Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, for sure. And that goes back to the point you made in the 6 mistakes your buffoon league makes video, where people will take backup quarterbacks, backup tight ends. The other thing too, a lot of people will handcuff their running backs. It's fine, I would say, if you can get the handcuff to your running back in the last round or off of waiver, that is one thing. But when you're over allocating draft resources and you're taking a running back in the second or third round, and then you're also taking his handcuff in the 10th round, the opportunity cost of doing that is allocating 2 roster spots to the same position, and you're doing it with 2 top 10, top 11 round picks. The only reason it would be plausible would be if you're getting a guy in the final round or off your waivers. At that point, it's like, okay, cool. They let him fall to you, sure. But typically speaking, a lot of leagues, specifically, like, for example, I mean, we're thinking Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. If you draft Bijan Robinson, as good of a handcuff projection as Tyler Allgeier may be, why would you be drafting him in the 12th round? Because that's going against your bet on Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, well, and as I talked about in that video, it actually inherently lowers your win rate, because if Bijan goes down, you're probably not going to win your league anyway. That's your first round pick. Like, there's a very good chance that you weren't going to win your league anyway. People talk about it with Kyren and Corum and those type of guys. The only backfield that I think it actually works for is the Carolina Panthers, because Chuba Hubbard is going to be a starter. Jonathan Brooks, once he comes back from injury, is probably going to be the starter there. And he's probably not taking up a roster spot if you have an IR spot in your league too. So definitely make sure that with your bench, you're loading it with wide receivers, you're loading it with running backs. Like, you can see 2 of my leagues that I have here: Bucky Irving, Khalil Herbert, Zach Charbonnet, Troy Franklin, Hollywood Brown, and Dontavian Wicks. all of those guys, none of those running backs are handcuffs to my starters. And also they're all upside swings. If some of those guys miss, let's say Irving is useless, Troy Franklin is useless, and whatever, after the first 2 weeks of the season, Khalil Herbert's useless, then I'll probably drop those guys for the hot waiver ads early in the season, like we see on a year over year basis. Same goes for this bench here. Ray Davis, Bucky Irving, Chuba Hubbard, Malik Washington, Dontavian Wicks, Keaton Mitchell. Malik Washington plays wide receiver 5 snaps the first week or two of the season. I'm probably dropping him and picking up somebody else. The other thing too, is if you play with defenses and kickers, never, ever, ever roster more than one at once, unless it is the fantasy playoffs week 16, week 17. And also make sure the types of players that you're going after are rookies, are ambiguous backfields. You want your high upside late season plays probably on your bench, not in your starting lineup.
Yeah, like for example, if we just look at the flock league, like my bench has, I mentioned a guy like Trey Benson. There's also Braylon Allen, Jalen Wright, Rico Dowdle, Adonai Mitchell, and Jalen Tolber. That's mixing some guys that should have an early role with some guys that could downright win me my league. Like I mentioned with Benson, I do think that could be the case, for example, with Jalen Wright being the handcuff there. That was the point I was talking about earlier with Braylon Allen. Like, yes, I do have Breece Hall, but I got Braylon Allen basically for free off of the waivers. It's not like I went and attacked Braylon Allen in the 12th round because I had Breece Hall. It's more so, okay, after the draft, he's available. I have a spot. I'll add him at that point.
Yeah, and there's a good chance, too, that like Breece is dominant 3 weeks into the season. You're probably not going to hold Braylon Allen the entire year if there's better waiver ads to pop up.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and speaking of waiver ads, tip number 4 for how to construct your bench and what you want to do to attack churning your roster. I use the term churning your roster, churning your bench throughout that argument here. And part of that is how you actually acquire these players. So tip number 4 is start a plan to allocate your free agent acquisition budget or your waiver priority system if you guys use one.
And this is why you guys turn to us. This is the beauty of, you know, talking about money, talking about overall budget, because it's just like real life for fantasy football, man. Proper budget allocation is crucial for your real life decisions, as it is crucial for fantasy football. The way to contextualize this is think you're a sports team. You're entering the offseason. You have a star wide receiver trio, and your offensive line just came off a season where it ranked as the 27th ranked unit in the league. Are you going to go sign the star wide receiver in free agency, or are you going to go sign the star left guard? You're going to go sign the star left guard because you have the wide receivers on the outside already set, and you need to improve your offensive line. Think of that when it applies to your fantasy football team. If you drafted a hero running back draft strategy and your wide receivers are, I don't know, let's just say you grabbed Breece Hall, for example, in my case.
Well, London, Ayuk, Pittman, and Higgins are mine with JSN on my bench.
Yeah, in your case specifically, you have Breece Hall, you have all those wide receivers, your main problem spots RB2. Unless there's like a Puka, like clear league winning profile at wide receiver, you need to be spending that $100 of your fab budget accordingly. You have to understand that I drafted this team with the strategy that running back 2 will be my weakest point of my team. Doesn't mean that it has to be the weakest point of your team throughout the entirety of the season. Because if it comes week 1, week 2, week 3, and there is a big running back fish you can get in the fab, well, guess what? You can drop $90, $95, $100 of your fab to go acquire that player. Because if they do hit and they do end up being this year's Kyren Williams, then you look at your entire roster and say, well, where's the weakness? I drafted this team with running back 2 intended to be the weakness, but I just got a free Kyren Williams to fill that slot for the rest of the season.
Yeah, people who ran hero RBs and picked up Kyren Williams after week 1 probably won their league. People who ran hero RBs and picked up Devon Achane or Jerome Ford after that, or Gus Edwards, the 3 or 4 Elijah weeks Mitchell prior to week 1, they probably had a ton of running back depth and didn't actually plan for that to happen, which is why, again, we're not saying, like, make sure, okay, 80% of my fab is going to be dedicated to running backs. 10% is going to be dedicated. Like, no, just have a generalized idea. It goes back to evaluating your starting roster with what positions are your weak ones. Maybe you punted quarterback. Maybe you punted tight end. And tight end, you're like, okay, I have Pat Freiermuth in my starting lineup right now. It's kind of making me nervous. If any good tight end waiver ads like Ben Sinnott or Jatavion Sanders or Greg Dulcich or Tucker Kraft pop up in week 1 or week 2, then you're going to be heavily allocating fab budget or your waiver priority system to that position because you're presumably already very strong at the other positions if you drafted very well. So again, whatever your weak point on your roster, make sure that you're keeping in mind that when the waiver ads start popping up weeks 1, 2, and 3, like they are usually the best ones of the season at the beginning of the year, make sure that you're properly allocating a good amount of your fab budget to address the running back position, which is usually the case for us, or maybe wide receiver, quarterback, or tight end, depending on the strengths of your team.
And if you guys want a general baseline for how you should be approaching based off the draft strategy used in your draft, if you use a zero or a hero running back build, like we said, typically speaking, you're going to be strong at wide receiver, you're going to be strong at quarterback, you're going to be strong at tight end. So you want to prioritize getting that running back two slot filled for a hero, or getting potentially your starting running back spots filled if you're running a zero RB, and vice versa. If you started with a double hero running back, I understand, like, obviously, if like a Kyren Williams comes available, like, you're going to put a bid in regardless, because they're just a league winning profile and you could figure the rest out. But specifically when it's like the Jerome Ford profiles are the week two or the 2 week, the 3 week type of plays that are costing $40+ of your fab budget. Well, you already invested heavily into the running back position. You would then be better suited to save that budget for the wide receiver position.
Yeah, Tank Dell, Jaden Reed, guys like that popped up on the waiver wire throughout the year. That would be where you would want to allocate your budget. So those were like the four like roster-based tips that we wanted to share with you guys before the season. The last one is kind of just like a bonus tip, because a lot of people make this mistake, especially new fantasy players. Tip number five is mentally prepare yourself for all of the new information that's coming, because week one standouts from last year, Kendrick Bourne, Tyler Allgeier, Josh Kelly, Roschon Johnson, Jacoby Myers, Rashid Shaheed, other guys who we shouldn't have paid super close attention to having a monster game in week one. But it also included Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Michael Pittman Jr., Brandon Ayuk, Travis Etienne, Breece Hall, and other guys that we should have been paying attention to the usage. We should have been paying attention to overall what they did in week one, or what they did through the first couple weeks of the season. The key is to knowing what's real and what isn't is new usage and new information that we didn't know already. If we go out there assuming that Chase Brown and Zach Moss is going to be a committee to start the season, and Chase Brown plays 90% of the snaps in week one, he suddenly goes from an upside RB3 to a mid RB1 for the rest of the season, or at least a high-end RB2 if we're a little bit pessimistic. The absolute best resource out there for this is on fantasylife.com. Dwayne McFarland's utilization report, we reference it all the time during our tier list videos.
Yeah, and again, great work that Dwayne does. I can guarantee you guys, if you do follow the utilization report on a week-to-week basis, it is guaranteed to make you a better fantasy football player. Because while your league mates are looking at, oh, look, this guy scored 26 points last week, you're going to be the guy that's understanding the usage. You're going to be the guy that's understanding, well, actually, this wide receiver ran more routes than him, so I'm going to target the guy that's getting the better usage. Understanding that usage is more correlated to fantasy points rather than one-off big-time spike weeks is going to make you a better fantasy football player in the long run. Again, we want to be balancing this new information with off-season priors. I think that is very crucial as well. You want to be taking in new information, but not completely dismissing all the research you did in the offseason, whether it's watching us, watching Ron, watching Mason, watching the land guys, the domain guys, whatever your go-to sources for fantasy football, understanding that we want to take that research we did in the offseason and not overreact to the new information, but still be able to apply the new information we have. People will, you know, inherently react to week one as they should, but we want to be spotting the outliers, and we want to be spotting the potential buy low or sell highs based off the usage that we can see in the utilization report. Are there players that performed at their lower range of outcome because of a bad matchup, or higher range of outcome because of a good matchup? Taking in all this information, not forgetting what we knew in the offseason, but also understanding that, are they performing as well as we could have projected, or are they overperforming or underperforming it based off the usage? Based off the usage is the key word. People are going to look at the points rather than the usage. You want to be the one that is studying the usage.
Yeah, and again, if you don't want to do that research yourself, we're obviously going to tell you guys that stuff. So you can just keep it tapped in right here, hit the subscribe button, and we'll take care of that for you. But if you are, you know, a serious fantantasy player, does their own research, definitely make sure you check out Dwayne McFarland's Fantasy Life utilization report. PFF has great resources for it as well. Yeah. There's tons of great Twitter follows that break down usage all the time. I know JJ Zachariasen usually does like a weekly thread breaking down the notable usage right after the games are over. So he's also a great follow for that. But yeah, that is our five tips. Our do this before week one. Again, this one was a bonus tip. It's more like get your mind right before week one, as opposed to like something you actually physically have to do. But definitely something that we want to keep in mind nonetheless. So again, if you did enjoy this video, leave a like down below, subscribe to the channel. If this is the first time you're checking us out, you will want to keep it tapped in here this season. We will do everything we can to help you hoist a fake Lombardi trophy in your fantasy football leagues this year. And of course, check out our sponsor if you guys want to support the show, Underdog Fantasy. Use the promo code FSE when you sign up. Deposit $10, you'll get our weekly rankings all season long. And if you're curious, if you did that to get our draft guide, you will also be receiving an email in the next day or two with weekly rankings access this entire season. And of course, we have tons of bonus content over on flockfantasy.com. If you guys want to ask us trade questions, ask us start sit questions, there is a la carte features over there on Flock Fantasy. And both of those things will be linked down below in the description and in the pinned comment. But with that being said, peace out, and we'll talk to you soon.